Hi, everybody. Good evening. It is Wednesday night at 8 p.m. You're tuning into New Jersey Revolution Radio live streaming right now on Twitter, on YouTube, on Facebook, on a couple of different pages. I know that we're on Madeline Hoffman's page, plus our own, the 15 Now page, and Working Persons Advocacy Coalition. And tonight, for the very first time, we are streaming on the front page of our website. So you can go to www.njrevolutionradio.com. And right on the front page, actually, I don't know if it's really working yet, I'll be honest with you, this is the first time we're doing it. But I did put it up on the front page of the website, so we're trying to get, like, democracy now. You know, we're faking on democracy now. But I am here tonight with my partner, who's got a light in her eyes while I'm going to move, so she's not going blind. Diane,
I'm okay. If you like the light where it is, I'm okay.
No, I can't have a blind partner.
No, if you like, I adjusted. If you like where it is, I'm fine.
Okay. How are you? How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I do want to hear. I know that you were up yet an adventure yesterday, an overseas adventure. Were you in New York for this Left Forum? Is that where it was?
Oh, at the People's Forum,
the book launch. Forum.
Yep, right. The book launch for Margaret Kimberly's new book, Prejudential: Black America and the Presidents. Yeah, I'm so happy I got my copy of the book yesterday, and I am so excited to read it. So everybody should go out and get a copy ASAP. It's pretty much available everywhere you shop online for your books. You know, we're not going to name some of those bad places, but you could also pick them up in indie stores. I think The Strand is still pretty.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. That's like a famous bookstore.
That's I think, still okay. And of course, we want Margaret Kimberly to sell books. So just buy it wherever you buy your reading materials. Prejudential: Black America and the Presidents by Margaret Kimberly. And there were some really good discussions. I know maybe we can put on the NJRR Facebook page some of the other events coming up. I believe Margaret is going to be in Pennsylvania, like Philadelphia this weekend. I know she's on. That's why I didn't pull it up, but maybe we can find it and put it on the page.
While I look on the break, I'll take a look while you do your chat and see if I can pull up some stuff. We'll mention it at the end of this under events. All right, so I'll look up some Margaret Kimberly. But and also, you know, you can look back on our Revolution Radio on our website or on our Facebook feeds. Margaret was on New Year's, right? She was our first guest.
New Year's Day, yeah.
New Jersey Revolution Radio of this decade. So
yeah,
go back. It was a great interview. She's a lot of fun. She's a great interview because she's really just she communicates so well. She's so personable and fun. She's funny too to talk to.
Yeah,
and she's got a great
sense
of humor. You know?
Great sense of humor.
It's,
good,
you know, serious, hard matters.
Oh yeah,
she just communicates in such a great way. You know, through interview or through writing or whatever.
Oh yeah, she's a very easy interview because she's just such a lovely interview. So
she's friendly as hell.
It's
just great. And the book itself, the material in the book is so important. You know, I think, you know, we have to fight this nationalism. It's a big problem, I think, in current politics and probably in the history of our country. You know, kind of this hero worship of presidents or military figures or, you know, mass murderers. People like Andrew Jackson are on our $20 bill, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, so to take them down a peg and to show, listen, these were flawed human beings at best.
And
pretty evil people at times when it came down to policy and institution of racist and upholding of the white supremacist system.
And I think we have to get comfortable talking about the ugly, ugly, ugly side of our country's history. And we were built on slavery and the genocide of indigenous people. And we have to just get out of that mindset of hero worship that is not obviously up. Did my mic go off?
Nope, that was me playing with the
playing with my audio. Yeah, okay. We just have to, you know, there were some great discussions last night too. So if we can find some of these events and Brian puts them online, I would really recommend going to the book launch because one, you can get this wonderful book. Two, you get to hear from Margaret Kimberly. And three, there's such great comrades in the audience. There's always lively, wonderful discussion. One thing we were touching on was just the lack of real history being taught to children in elementary school, high school, and in college. So we need to have these discussions. So this is a starting point, is get this book and go to one of the book launches.
Prejudential by our comrade Margaret Kimberly. Out in bookstores, online. Is it available? Do you know if it's available online? Can you get it in ebooks or how's it?
As an ebook, you know, I haven't looked for that yet, but it's.
What about a webpage?
Oh, her webpage? I don't have that information, but we can try to find some of the events and put them on the NJRR page, because I know we have some comrades in South Jersey. You can easily hop over to Philly, and I'm sure they're going to want to see Margaret and get a copy of the book.
Can you see on your screen over there, Diane, the little comment from Christian Perez?
Okay. Christian Perez said, can you please say something about this travesty of the bigot Rush Limbaugh getting the Presidential Medal of Freedom? What can we say? Except it's insane.
One racist gives a medal to another racist.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised he didn't show up in a white sheet.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Because the man's intolerable. He's absolutely beyond.
Yeah.
Beyond, yeah. I mean, I've got a list of some of the things that the man has said.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Ugly.
Can you turn your camera on?
Okay. Yes. These are all Rush on. Rush on blacks in America.
You know I'm fine with blacks in America. Somebody needs to clean out the sewers. Rush on the genocide of American Indians. Columbus saved the Indians from themselves.
Rush on the NFL. Look, let me put it to you this way. The NFL all too often looks like a game between the Bloods and the Crips without any weapons. There, I said it.
Wow.
To an African-American female caller. Take that bone out of your nose and call me back.
Yeah. Wow. Ugly.
Horrific.
Disgusting.
Not even borderline. Just like completely old, like KKK kind racist stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Medal of Freedom. Same honor given to Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
It goes on and on. There's just list after list after list.
The whole speech was disgusting. The whole speech, and they're clapping for taking health care away from people. Who the fuck claps for that?
Wow.
What kind of human being gets up and stands and claps, yay, I'm going to take away somebody's health care? The fuck is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
It was horrific. It really was.
Thank God. I would have just been angry and mad.
I was.
And what were most of the Democrats thrilled with? Simply the Nancy Pelosi ripping up some paper. That's right. It.
After he refused to shake her hand at the beginning. You know. So that shows you he's not a man anyway. I don't consider him to be a man.
No.
No, he's not.
So I wouldn't accept anything less from him. You know, couldn't be anything more.
Oh, yeah.
It's not on camera much. Again, with the audio troubles, I didn't get to set up all the screen. That's Diane Quaz, everybody. She's been off camera.
Yeah.
Now you can see everybody in the studio.
Oh, excellent. Okay, cool.
We'll get a better camera shot for you the next time. We got stuff to do. Live show starts at 8 o'clock. You go with what you got sometimes.
Yeah.
New Jersey Revolution Radio. But Diane Quaz has been here for a number of weeks. We always thank her for her help and chiming in today. And we know, I watch a great meme generation page. So if your friend's on Facebook, you may find her, because she brings a lot of levity and joy into your life through the art form known as memes.
Memes. Somebody's got to generate them.
People think I'm just on Facebook, like, yelling about politics and stuff. I'm not. I watch memes all the time. And I have several friends who just send me memes, make me memes. They make my day. They really do.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And I missed the State of the Union because we were in the foreign country of New York City. So I just tried to catch highlights today.
Okay.
And the other thing that disturbed me was the Democrats and the Republicans jumping to their feet and thunderous applause for Juan Guaido, fake president.
We want to start with that. Christian's going to be on. He's going to be at the coffee house. So I said it's gonna be.
Oh, is that next week?
No, we're gonna do. We'll do from here next week, and then on the 19th we'll be at the coffee house
with Christian.
Christian will be there. I've already confirmed Christian, Teresa Marcala.
Great.
So we're gonna have a great show at the coffee house on February 19th.
Okay.
But you know he's been keeping us up to speed on Juan Guaido, and I'm sure Madeline will chime in when she joins us in a little
sure.
bit. Sure. So we maybe don't want to steal all that thunder just yet.
Okay.
I can see her in the off studio. She's nodding her head. No, don't talk about Guaido. So let's okay. hold on to that.
Yep.
But before we get to it, I do. We had a guest tonight, Michelle Burns, who couldn't make it. I don't know if there were some technical issues or whatever, but she couldn't make it. But I need to thank my comrade Michelle Burns, Sativa Cross, and Ed Grimes, who was in a couple of months ago when I first got. Was it just before I got arrested? Didn't we have them on, and then I got arrested like the next week? It was like
they were on, I believe, after you were arrested.
Who's after?
Yeah.
That's right. It was.
Yep,
after.
Yep.
It was something where I talked about cannabis. We had a cannabis show or something.
Yeah.
I got arrested, but I did have my first court date last week or whatever. They dropped mm-hmm. some of the charges. I still got one charge pending where they're still claiming that I spit on an officer. I didn't spit on an officer. So, I made it very clear that I'm not pleading guilty to the prosecutor. And we'll see. So they're modifying the charges. I have another court date on February 13th, but I believe that the possession and everything all those charges have been dropped and they're still trying to say that I spit on an officer, which I didn't do. So okay. Burden of proof's on them. And since we live in such a wonderful country, which is a great justice system, it always works. I have confidence that I'll be found innocent of all charges. Right, Diane?
Absolutely.
I would say you should obtain representation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounds like they, dropped it down to a disorderly under a disorderly. Municipal ordinance.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. So I'm just going to. I don't know. I should get a lawyer. Everybody tells you get a lawyer, but I got other stuff to do. That's my whole point. I think some of this protest.
Well, I bet you if you put a call out, you could probably, especially now that it's a nice, slow, disorderly under a municipal ordinance, I bet you have a comrade out there that would probably
I'm sure I
give you at a minimum a super duper comrade rate.
I know people.
Yep. So,
I got you.
Diane's putting the call out there. So message Brian.
Message me if you want to represent me because I'm just too lazy to represent. I mean, I want to. I do kind of want to, but I've wanted to represent myself a little bit because of what Weed Man does. Because of mm-hmm. hanging out with that crew, and they, Weed Man, I mean, listen, I don't want to compare myself to Ed because Ed spent 447 days in jail and fought his own trial, risking a charge of witness tampering.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is serious. I mean, honestly, that kind of bravery level, I don't know. His faith in his own abilities in court mm-hmm. Are probably beyond mine. But also there is some, I learned by doing. I learned how to put together a media company. I didn't go to school for this.
Mm-hmm.
And why is a little, that's why our mics buzz every once in a while. It may not be, it's not MSNBC, but I'm just saying, I learned by doing that. And if I'm going to learn the criminal justice system, this just seems like a good way for me to go. Plus, I'm annoying the hell out of everybody, which is my favorite thing. You could see in people's faces on the system, mm-hmm. the lawyer that fits. See, that I care about you, but I'm annoyed because you're not doing it right. That brings joy to me for some reason. Why is that? Can you explain that to me? Can you need some therapist time?
I guess after the show, we can have that more in-depth discussion.
I want to know from what I'd like to hear more from my audience and maybe my close friends about why these things. But it is a protest for me. I'm treating it like a protest because of who I am. I just feel this opportunity for some words about social justice and injustice and our drug laws and all that. It was presented to me, so I'm making the most of it. A court is a platform. Just like this is a platform, sports are platforms, music and arts are platforms. Mm-hmm. A courtroom is a platform where, we made political speeches for Extinction Rebellion in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
I've made political stances for 15 now in the minimum wage laws mm-hmm. In a courtroom. So, it is a format where America allows us to use our free speech and make political statements. And, I've used it for that purpose, not really mm-hmm. so much because I'm innocent. So I really just feel like eventually the truth's going to come out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at the ordinance, check out what you're potentially facing and make the decision.
Yeah.
And you'll have some comrades reaching out to you who can.
I know. They already have been reaching out. And the truth is, like when you do this stuff, and one of the tactics a lot of people will use are enemies to make you feel alone. You see it even in public narrative to say, like, these isolating type narratives where they say, like, nobody agrees with you, you're in the minority, people mm-hmm. don't like you. And I don't have that problem right now, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The outpouring of love from the messages, good. From people calling me, from what you're saying right now, like, mm-hmm. we'll help you out. I mean, mm-hmm. it's overwhelming at times, the amount of support you get, from my mm-hmm. comrades. So thanks to everybody. And my next court date is February 13th.
February 13th.
I don't plan on doing any kind of big protest. I mean, honestly, Michelle Burns, Sativa Cross, Ed Grimes, thank you for coming out there. Mm-hmm. We basically, it's out there on the streams right now. We rolled around the courthouse. This woman has multiple sclerosis. She's in a wheelchair. My job was to be me and yell at cops and taunt them into trying to get them to arrest a woman in a wheelchair for possession of marijuana. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't do it. They saw her. I saw some of the police that arrested me. And I said, you arrested me. Why don't you arrest her? They wouldn't. They looked the other way. They walked away. They had their heads down. And honestly, so that tells me, you know, that we had an impact. Mm-hmm. Like, right. I mean, before I got snatched off the street doing something perfectly legal, a few weeks later, I went back there and taunted people and deliberately did it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody ignored and walked away. So we had an effect. And
mm-hmm.
people may not like our style.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that the Middlesex County Sheriff's Department learned a lesson on how to treat patients. And I also do still hope they all quit their jobs. Anyway,
no, they didn't learn.
Maybe temporarily, maybe.
Yeah.
They did. They didn't screw with us. They did, and they could have. They could have locked me up. They could have grabbed me and threw me in a cell again. They didn't. And we was trying, kind of. I didn't do anything like overtly. Like, I wouldn't say I was risking arrest. I wouldn't put mm-hmm. it in that. You know, when you risk arrest, you do something that you're on. Most likely, I wouldn't mm-hmm. put it in that court, but I was certainly putting myself in a position where they could have screwed with me way worse.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose not to because I think they realized it would have been a PR nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a little. It was a hopefully a lesson learned. I learned some lessons too. Just, you know, Middlesex County Sheriff's Department, Mildred Scott. I learned some lessons too. Not the lessons you think you want me to learn, but I did learn some lessons as well. All right, so let's bring into our studio here, Madeline Hoffman. Oh. All right. Hi, Madeline.
I'm right here. Hi.
I know.
Hi, Madeline.
We do have to do our commercials real quick. I almost forgot the commercials, but Madeline is in studio. Madeline's running for Senate, and she's going to be going up against a Democratic candidate, maybe Cory Booker. We don't know. We hope Cory.
We don't know.
We want to take out Cory Booker. All right. But first, let's talk about the sponsors table. The sponsors table tonight, I got this little glass jar. So those of you that know me know I use medical cannabis. And one of the things I do during the day is I write and I play with my medical cannabis. I'll make hash or I'll grind it up and roll joints and stuff. It kind of keeps my hands busy. It's a fidgeting thing, I think, to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But also it relaxes me and it's something to do while I write and while I think about what I'm writing and stuff like that. So today I made a little bit of hash oil.
Mm-hmm.
Just by pressing cannabis, straining some alcohol into it, and then filtering into a jar. I got it at Noble's Smoke Shop in Point Pleasant Beach. It's 504 Arnold Avenue in Point Pleasant Beach. Noble's Smoke Shop sells kratom. They have a gigantic selection of cigars. They have water pipes. They have all kinds of beautiful water pipes. They've got a website coming out. We've been working on it. We've partnered with Noble's Smoke Shop a number of initiatives already. So it's one of those sponsorship relationships that are growing here at New Jersey Revolution Radio. We want to thank them for their sponsorship over the past month. We hope they stick around. And if you're in Point Pleasant Beach, stop by, grab something to drink, grab a nice cigar. It really is. It's like this. We call it it's like a bodega boutique. It's a bodega, but they got some really nice stuff in there, like glassware and the cigars and stuff. It's pretty high quality stuff. So
cool.
I think it is set up like a bodega, but it's more of a boutique type of merchandise. So check it out there. Point Pleasant Beach, Noble Smoke Shop.
Cool. Yeah, I'm buzzing
buzzy,
again.
Buzzy, 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 buzzy. Everybody's buzzing. On the phone or on the live stream here now, we have our comrade Madeline Hoffman. Hi, Madeline. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine.
Good. So,
okay.
Well, you talk about your Senate run.
Yeah.
And for those of you out there, if you set your comments up, put your comments up on the feed or whatever, We will be posting your comments and stuff on the stream so you can interact with us. We've got some new features coming out here on NJR Live. Thanks to you, our donors. Make sure you give a little bit of money when you can. www.njrevolutionradio.com/donate. All right.
Okay. Hello, Madeline. How are you?
I'm all right, Diane. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. Now, I know most of our viewers and listeners know who Madeline Hoffman is, but just in case some of them don't, Madeline Hoffman is a longtime peace and justice advocate. You were the executive director for New Jersey Peace Action for 19 years.
18.
18 years. Oops. 18 years. And right now you are running for U.S. Senate.
Correct. And
as Brian said, we don't know who for sure is going to be, I guess there's going to be a Republican as well, but you know, right now we'll focus on the Democrats. We know that they are in primary season for an early June primary election. So we have the incumbent, Senator Cory Booker, and we have his challenger, which is NORC area activist Larry Hamm. He's been a longtime activist with the People's Organization for Progress. So we're going to have to take a wait and see. But the good thing is, with running as a Green, you just have some time now to build your momentum with your Greens, with your independents, and organize, fundraise, etc. Right? So how's that been going?
Right. Well, we had our first fundraiser on Sunday, and it was in Highland Park at Pino's. We had an excellent, excellent fundraiser in terms of the amount of money we raised, and also the people who, or the counties who were represented there. There are 21 counties in New Jersey, and we had 14 counties represented. So we had 2/3 of the counties of New Jersey already taken care of. And I know someone from the 15th county reached out to us yesterday, and that's Burlington County. She wanted to do an event in Burlington County, a house party or some kind of public event. So we really are starting out with a lot of with a widespread base, and that's really important. And as you said, Diane, we know that come November, our campaign will still be there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, because of the primary, it doesn't affect us one way or the other. We can continue to campaign through the primary and beyond, no matter what happens there. And so our plan and our goal is to promote the issues that matter to the Greens in New Jersey and around the country, the issues that matter to people who are neither Democrat nor Republican, and build as strong a movement of people who rally around those issues as we possibly can.
Okay, excellent. And you've had the experience of running in 2018.
Yes.
And so I know you got to, through many different actions and speaking engagements, yes, and forums and getting out and talking to the people. Some people might argue Cory Booker might be a little out of touch with your average New Jersey resident. And
just a little.
I think having, labels like being Wall Street darling and, I don't know, pharmaceutical babe, what are we going to call them?
Well, you mentioned the State of the Union, and you mm-hmm. mentioned how Democrats and Republicans stood up together mm-hmm. To applaud Donald Trump when he introduced Juan Guaido from mm-hmm. Venezuela, when he talked about taking out Maduro from Venezuela, mm-hmm. when he talked about increasing the pressure and being more aggressive toward Iran. And mm-hmm. Senator Booker is one of those senators that has voted for every increase in Well, not every increase. The last one, he didn't vote at all. But before that, the last one being during the campaign for president, before he dropped out, he didn't, he chose not to vote at all. But before that, every increase in the military budget, there was Senator Booker behind it. He speaks of Latin America as our Latin America, not Latin America that is inhabited by many people who have the right to decide their own governments and the way their governments are run. So, you know, I've gotten a little bit of flack on my Facebook page for this, but not a whole lot. I would much rather have seen the Democrats, including Senator Booker, stand up to Donald Trump on the issue of endless war, stand up to Donald Trump on the issue of U.S. imperialism, rather than to take a piece of paper and just rip it. Because to me, that was a very hollow, empty gesture, very symbolic, like the drama in the theater that we've been witness to over the last few months, and not really substantial. Yeah. And that's one of the issues I have with Senator Booker on the war. I know you want to ask me another question, but I need to talk to, I also need to address the issue of Palestine, but can sure. I ask me another sure. question first?
Yeah, no, and I agree. There's nothing, you know, I had no problem with her ripping up the speech, but I'd much rather see the Democrats taking strong vocal action against Trump on issues, as you're saying, you know, and not voting on a military budget. You know, your job is to vote up or down, vote. He could have voted against that budget. So we can say he is never opposed.
This is true.
A single military budget. So yeah. that he is stuck with, right?
That's true. I said before that he never saw a military budget that he didn't like.
Yeah.
And there we go. It's the same situation. And on Iran, this is another issue that, when I was with New Jersey Peace Action, that was when the Iran deal was first on the table. And I remember people not only from New Jersey, but all around the country gearing up to put pressure on Senator Booker to vote not to block the Iran deal from going forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was we needed to have 31 or 32 senators who are committed to supporting the Iran deal. And in order for it not to be blocked and for it to stay in effect. And Senator Booker waited until there were 34 or 35 senators signed on to it before he took a position. So we really, really had to work hard to get him to sign to support the deal. And then when Donald Trump tore it up, Senator Booker said, gee, I don't know if I could support another one. He went back to his position of not wanting to sign a deal that would be a diplomatic solution or resolution to an ongoing problem. He's certainly one of those Democrats, like so many of them, that stands right side by side with Donald Trump on these issues. It's not Donald Trump either. It's the military industrial complex. We've had Barack Obama. We've had George W. Bush. We've had Bill Clinton. We've had a whole parade of presidents of both political parties that have supported these kinds of actions. And, you know, it's just gotten a little bit more blatant lately. And again, if Nancy Pelosi had shredded the document or the speech and not stood up for when Guaido was introduced or when
jumped to her feet and had a big smile on her face.
You know, all right, do both. First do both, but it was only the one. And
when it comes to, you know, foreign policy, neoliberals are not really that much different from Republicans. And I know we get slammed for that, but I'm going to stand with it. Where Democrats are different is they're right now they're less vulgar and they're less overtly racist, but they still uphold white supremacy and they're not dismantling racism. They're not actively trying to undo the history of our US government, which is just full of racism, you know, from head to toe. They're not doing the hard work. No. I know there's we have some decent progressive Democrats that are trying to do the work, but you know, depending on which issues you look at, it's about 5 to 20.
Maybe. And
when you look at the size of the House and the Senate,
they might take on 10% of the issues that need those very people, maybe 30%. But you know what? I wanted to mention something else about last night, mm-hmm. because in the Democratic Party response to the State of the Union, there was a statement made about thanking Phil Murphy, Governor Phil Murphy, and other Democrats for having worked to replace the lead pipes in Newark. Our friends at the Newark Water Coalition, who have been fighting at the grassroots level and been really pushing to get attention paid to that to the problem of lead contamination in the water. Nobody from the Democratic Party thanked them. You know, the credit was going to the politicians. And it's been my experience working as a grassroots environmentalist before I was a director of a peace organization. Our elected officials don't do anything on these issues unless the people push.
Demand it. Yep.
And demand it. And the people in Newark have been at this for quite some time. They've really picked it up over the last year and a half.
Yep.
The action at the video, the BMA Awards or VMA Awards, shown the spotlight on what's going on there. And honestly, if you're an elected official of either party and you don't credit the people who do the work on the ground, in the communities, as part of a movement, if you don't do that, then you're not paying attention. And it's politics as usual. It's not the kind of politics that I want to have in my campaign, which is we take positions side by side with the grassroots movements that are already there. So if there are people fighting against homelessness, we can stand alongside those folks and help to amplify the voice. We're not taking on issues where there isn't a movement already. And so that's another thing that differentiates our campaign from the Democrats or the Republicans. We believe that the change only happens when people are mobilized in the streets. And that's what we want the campaign to help to build.
Yeah. And when people's voices can be heard, because if it wasn't for the Newark Water Coalition, who has been working tirelessly, I think every Saturday still they're distributing water. Yeah. And they're not acknowledged. And if it's not for, sometimes it even takes dramatic action, like you mentioned, the VMAs. Cory Booker took no action until after the VMAs.
Right.
Essex County freeholders took no action until they were warned of the action that was going to occur. And all of a sudden they put out a press release and a press conference the Sunday before the Monday VMA protest was going to occur. And when have you ever heard politicians working on a Sunday in New Jersey?
Or anywhere for that matter.
But I'll say, especially New Jersey, we have a special type of...
Come in and pass the budget.
Oops.
Nobody's paying attention.
Oh, oops. Okay.
That's when they come in. So but yeah, they do it when they don't want anybody to look.
To look. But this was done because they needed to get it out in the press to try to reflect from
they
the protests and make
stuff
them look.
On the weekends when they don't want you to know about it.
Once you know about it. Okay.
Budget stuff, shady deals.
Shady deals. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's fun to mention the trend schedule.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
of a sudden, everybody, nobody works during the week. All of a sudden, everybody needs to work on the weekend.
I'm in on Sunday. Yeah, yeah, sure. Don't tell anyone. Come in the back door.
Basically, yeah. I was in the state house. They passed, like, can't remember what bill it was, but they did pass a bill. It was right at the end. It was towards the budget stuff. And it was literally like a dozen people in the state house, like milling around. It was me and a couple of union people.
And
it was
that's
our bill. Like, we were concerned.
So you wanted to be there.
So
yeah.
We wanted to be there. But other than that, it was like,
yeah.
not even press. Like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Bad.
And,
it's not
and,
good when government gets run with nobody paying attention.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing.
And in New Jersey, New York, New Jersey, but I'd say New Jersey probably even more so than New York because they have allowed some types of fusion voting in New York. We have a special kind of nasty neoliberals that, you know, we have good progressive Democrats in New Jersey. And, you know, I'm
not in office.
No, it's the grassroots. It's the activist type working their butts off, trying to run in some races. They're doing local races, as we know with Madeline Hoffman. There's Larry Ham, who's a Bernie-crat, who's going to be running, challenging Cory Booker. But there's going to be more information to come about the shady deals that go on with the Democrats. And I believe the base of New Jersey is progressive. I believe the people are progressive, if anything, left to progressive. And it's the fact that I think people just give up. Our voter registration, our voter turnout is not good. You look at how many people are actually involved in the process. They don't even have conventions anymore. You know, they don't allow, if you remember in 2016, they had a secret sort of convention in which they appointed the delegates and they didn't want the regular Democrats and progressives to know about it. Some people got word and I believe some people showed up at the last minute. People were warning the Bernie-crats back in 2016 to take action. So when you know, we could talk about briefly if anybody wants to. About Iowa and people act like this is shocking behavior when they shut down the weekend poll, when they shut down the tallying of votes. This is business as usual.
And it happens at all levels. And I think that's what people got to realize. Like everybody, like I think, you know, so we call them you know, sometimes normies or whatever, just people that don't really pay attention to politics on the level that activists do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that like what you're seeing right now with Bloomberg just purchasing himself.
That was so blatant. So blatant.
But that's because they do this all the
time.
They fire people and bury people with silent. You know with these
they don't care.
They pay. Yeah. You get fired. You get paid off $10,000, and you have to sign a little piece of paper that says you can't talk to nobody or you lose your money. And
then.
You know, I mean, like non-disclosure agreements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Non-disclosure agreements. They gossip and rumor spread to win elections.
They'll
pull whatever bureaucratic trick they have to. You know, union presidents do this shady. They change bylaws so they don't have general membership meetings anymore, or their general membership meetings are on a Sunday, or they're inaccessible. This is a model used by the Democratic Party. To keep oligarchs, to keep the current capitalist system.
They don't want transparency. They don't want you in.
They don't want anti-war voices in either.
No.
What they've done, I mean, when you think about changing the rules for Michael Bloomberg, but not changing them for somebody like Tulsi Gabbard, for all other, she's not a perfect candidate by any means, but she's strongly anti-war. Her voice is silent. It's just been
Same thing with Mike Gravel.
Gravel. Yeah.
Mike Gravel.
Yeah. Long time anti-war personality. He's not anywhere to be seen.
Yeah. That would have been awesome debates if we had a couple of them.
Yes. Yes.
A couple of them in those beginning debates.
It would have been
wonderful.
Nice gravel up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the party ain't going to let it. That's the thing. Like, I don't even think they care how bad they look, as long as Bernie doesn't get it. I don't think they care.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at the shenanigans with Buttigieg, with everything from it was his campaign that shut the polls down.
And only the shadow knows who won, he helped fund the shadow. So
Madeline, tell us what a shadow is and what's going on there. In the what the hell is shadow app counting our votes?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're the Russian assets here. What is going on?
Well, we're not. The Democratic Party.
Clearly, we're not doing it.
And Mayor Pete.
Yeah. Is it meddling in our elections, perhaps? You know,
I'm wondering if Iraq or Venezuela is going to bomb Iowa and bring free and fair elections. I think they should. Maybe we should invade Iowa and rebuild the roads and bridges.
I mean, we have a model for that, don't we? We have a model for that.
Works so well everywhere else. Why not bomb Iowa?
Yeah. Oh, man. So I wanted to say one last thing about Cory Booker because... And about grassroots democracy. So, but I'll make it really, really quick. Cory Booker on the issue of Palestine, if that's your issue, he's really horrible on that. Everyone agrees who is interested in seeing human rights honored for Palestinians. And Cory Booker flat out said, if you're concerned about the occupation of Palestine, then I'm not your candidate. Go find somebody else. And I'm not even just using that to say something about Cory Booker. It's again a bipartisan consensus, basically, that Israel can do no wrong. And so that's really one reason why I'm a green and independent. And then on grassroots democracy, ranked choice voting coming soon, we hope, to New Jersey and the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And then also, we have a number of youth who are working on our campaign, and we've discussed the idea of lowering the voting age to 16. So there's already a proposal out there that if 17-year-olds are going to be 18 at the time of the elections, they should be able to vote in the primaries. What if we lowered the voting age by even one more year and created a situation where schools might panic and say, oh, they're going to be out and speaking or voting, rather? We need to prepare them. Now, we'd have to worry about how that preparation is done, but we need more political engagement, not less.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
so ranked choice voting will do that. Lowering the voting age would do that. Let's get all these decisions out where you can see them, not in the back room where they're hidden, where they're hidden from view. And Iowa is just a blot, an ink blot and a stain on U.S. democracy, really.
Yeah. And I'm just going to bring up quick because I keep refreshing the Iowa caucus results. So I've been trailing this since last night when they, after 5 o'clock, finally released, I believe it was 62% of the caucus results. One thing I've been tracking is the vote percentages have remained around the mid-20s for both Mayor Pete and Bernie. I swear, I think they really wanted to take the wind out of the sails of Bernie Sanders, who could have had his Monday night first victory speech. And if you track the numbers as they've been released, it's kind of funny that the percentage in between Mayor Pete and Bernie keeps shrinking. I believe it was 1.8% when they first released it last night at 5, when it was 62. And then they've been doing drips and drabs. We get little tiny minuscule amounts of caucus results as we wait for an eternity. So we went from 62, where we had 1.8, which is really a nothing distance between the two. Then we went to like 82%. It shrunk down closer to, I believe it was 1.2% difference. And now we have 26.5 and 25.6. So it's now shrunk down to 0.9.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, you know, there's no, you know, nothing would shock me of the levels the Democratic Party would stoop to block Bernie Sanders. And I think I would just say, if you thought 2016 was bad, 2020 is going to be worse. We're not going to have WikiLeaks to show us all the gory details, but there is no doubt that they will do anything they have to do to make sure Bernie does not get the nomination.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, we see it all the time. It's how the Democratic Party operates. It's not a surprise to those of us that deal with the Democratic Party in the past. And so they just keep chugging on. That's it. We got events coming up. We got events. I did look up Margaret Kimberly. I got one.
Oh, great. Good,
but
good.
If you look, like, she's got a bazillion events up there. So just, you
good,
know,
good.
I can't sort through all of them right now.
Follow Margaret Kimberly.
February 13th, 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Greenlight Bookstore. That's at 632 Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn, New York.
Ah.
Overseas. I think Diane said there's one in Philly coming up, but please.
This weekend, I'm pretty sure there's a couple of them in Philly.
Yeah. So, you know, plug in, find out where you can about Margaret Kimberly's books, Presidential. What's the full title of it?
Presidential, Black America, and the Presidents.
All right. The UNAC
History
Conference.
That is much needed.
Yes,
the UNAC Conference, which is the United National Anti-War Coalition Conference, that is February 21st through 23rd. So that's a Friday evening, all day Saturday, which Saturday evening we have Abby Martin, who has a new documentary coming out about Palestine. She's going to be there. So it's a long weekend, and really definitely want to be there for that. And the whole conference ends on Sunday. Register now if you can. It's at the People's Forum. It's conveniently located in Midtown Manhattan.
Cool.
Hope to see you there.
February 7th, this weekend, from 7 to 10 p.m., Marvin X, who worked with Malcolm X, will be appearing with Amini Baraka at 83 Halsey Street. That's the library, Newark Library, second floor in Newark, New Jersey. Amini Baraka is fantastic. If you've never gotten a chance to hear her, she's just a fantastic poet, author, and writer. And I don't know too much about Marvin X, but this is set up by Justice over at 360 Poetry Night.
Great.
He's one of the sponsors of it. Justice and some artists came over for the Super Bowl. We hung out and we had a painter here do some paintings. But those are great. You look at 360, go to 360 Poetry Night with Justice's Facebook page, and you see my man Justice hanging out with a sickle. He took a picture. All right. He's hanging. He looks cool. I can't look as cool as Justice, but there is another picture coming out, and I got one of me and him holding a hammer and sickle together.
Cool.
So I had a great time hanging out with some comrades from 360 Night with Justice. Bigger and better things to come. But check them out, certainly, this weekend, right? Is this Saturday? It's Friday. This is Wednesday, Thursday. So this is Friday, 7 to p.m., February 7th. Amini Baraka and Marvin X at the Newark Library. Check them out. Any other events? What do we got? You got anything else?
Right now, I'm focusing on the UNAC conference and doing some other organizing for some events that will be coming up, but more info to come.
Next week, you'll be on location from an organizing event. For one of you, want to sneak a sneak peek at where you're going to be next week, or are we going to save it for a surprise?
No, we're just doing some organizing, so more information as we go along.
See, activists don't just get in the streets and yell and do that kind of stuff. We get together and we plan doing that stuff too. So,
and it's a lot of work. It's fun. You hang with great people, but it's a lot of work.
It's a ton of work. Thanks to you, our contributors, our sponsors, the key people that have given 5, 10, 25. And our larger donors, whom we love is just as much, we can quickly phone in where Diane's at and do a remote report through this live streaming technology. You can see the new features that are getting incorporated. You know that we're learning as we go here at New Jersey Revolution Radio, but we're learning together, and we're learning how to work with our contributors and sponsors better. So if you can get a chance to make a quick donation, it goes immediately into our network. We start funding this operation right away. www.njrevolutionradio.com. Thanks to Noble Smoke Shop, 504 Arnold Avenue in Point Pleasant Beach, for sponsoring today's show. And until next week at 8 p.m. right here, streaming where you get
where don't you forget get Women, stuff. Weed, and Wellness.
Women, Weed, and Wellness. That's in North Jersey, right?
Oh, yep. There we go. Here we go. Women, Weed, and Wellness, North Jersey. That is March 29th. So we have a lot of time. Okay. But definitely, you know,
put it on your calendar.
Yep. Women, Weed, and Wellness, March 29th. So until next week at 8 p.m. Or until I see you at the next event, this is Brian Powers, and I'm reminding you that the police can quit their jobs.
And this is Diane Moxley reminding you that organizers have a lot of work to do when the weather is cold. So I will either see you in a awesome organizing meeting, or I will see you in the streets. Till next time.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Alan.
Good night. Thank you.